and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. Well, here we are, Mr. Fulp, in Toronto, our favorite watering hole. You know, I think right after Christmas, New Year's, and Thanksgiving, this is one of my favorite events of the year, getting together with you at the PDAC.
Oh, don't flatter me, Rob. But it's good to see your smiling face over a pint of good Canadian lager.
Okay, indeed. And what makes this show even more special, Mickey, is that we're into our fifth year, and this is our 100th edition of Mercenary Musings Radio. Hard to believe, 100 shows we've done together.
Yes, and what, 5 years ago, it was a seed of a thought in my brain, and I needed a radio voice, and we had done some work before for other people, and I said, well, there's my radio voice. And so we launched Mercenary Musings Radio, which quickly evolved into a commodity show and continues to be a commodity show.
We're still having fun along the way. Great to sit down with you, Mickey. Your thoughts on the PDAC this year? I think going into things, we were looking at attendance perhaps of just over 30,000 like last year. It didn't happen, though. I think organizers are talking about 25,000, so a drop in attendance this year. Your thoughts and observations of the event?
Well, I actually thought it was going to drop. I was probably pleasantly surprised that it did not drop more, considering the bear market has been deepening for the last 3 years. We also saw a drop in the number of exhibiting companies, which is to be expected, and it was obvious on the floor wasn't so crowded. There weren't so many booths. You could actually probably walk around and breathe and not get lost in the shuffle. So I actually found it a little bit easier to navigate than the recent two or three years when it's just crazy.
Now, did the drop in attendance also reflect a drop in the mood? I mean, the mining sector has gone through a very rough patch. One wonders whether or not we've hit a bottom here and perhaps are kind of laying the groundwork for better days ahead. But talk to me about the mood of the convention.
Well, it's hard
to read sometimes at the PDAC because even during the worst times, people can be quite jovial.
Well, yes, and especially at night at some of the hospitality suites, but I'd probably say the number of parties was down. Probably the only thing that wasn't down was people's cautious optimism, and how many times have we heard that over the last week or so? Cautiously optimistic or hopefully optimistic about the nature of this sector. We are up. We've been up since we tested the low below 900, about in the 880s. We tested that again in mid-December during tax loss selling. And we've been on the uptick pretty much ever since. And we hope that continues.
Well, you get the feeling that the market perhaps really has perhaps found a bottom, and that whether or not we're going to see a lot of upward movement from here remains to be seen. But you kind of get the feeling that it's not going to get any worse, don't you? I mean, we've gone through so much pain, and that companies that have survived this so far will make it in the end.
Well, there's a bunch of companies that won't survive, but the good companies have risen to the top. The cream rises to the top, and I think that's evident. Some of the stocks are up considerably since mid-December, but they are generally good companies, and then you have the dregs of the rest of the market, which is most of the junior market. I think that people's mood was better. I'm not sure it was as boisterous and as much of a buzz as we saw in Cambridge House in the third week of January, which is the second largest conference of this nature. Venture hit 10:51, if memory serves, on Friday, closed the day at 10:28. So it's come off from, once again, it's yearly high so far, which is the day before PDAC, and I think we've seen that happen about two of the last 3 years. I think the next month is the test case. We'll see where it goes from there.
You've been very busy while here in Toronto for the PDAC. How many interviews have you taken? Have you conducted?
I think this is number 14, and most of those were set up before in advance. Me contacting some of my usual interviewers and a few of them contacting me, but it seemed to work pretty well.
Now, you were also a presenter at the PDAC, not just a spectator walking around. You've made some presentations. Tell us about your presentation, the topic, and the reception that you received.
Well, I was invited to give the last talk of the day in the Letter Writers Investor Forum on Sunday, which kind of kicks off the PDAC. And so I followed my 12 or 14 peers, and they, as usual, we have a tendency to talk about the same general themes. So, but I did not talk about the bear market, stocks, hard assets, inflation, deflation, macroeconomics, none of the above. I lightened it up. Well, maybe I didn't lighten it up so much, but the title of my talk was Geological Doomsday Scenarios Waiting to Happen, or Te Awaki, the End of the World as We Know It. So I went all the way through from things that we know will happen within in the next year, which is like a giant earthquake. 10 to 100 years, we'll have a big volcanic eruption, perhaps like Pinatubo in 1991. And I went all the way out, ice ages, meteorite impact, continental collision and the reforming of a supercontinent. The sun gets hotter and burns off all the water on the Earth. Radioactive fuel runs out. The Earth becomes a dead planet like Mars. And then the sun becomes a red giant, cannibalizes the Earth, and then runs out of fuel and becomes a white dwarf. So that goes from zero to 6.6 billion
indeed.
Years.
Yeah.
And it really is a doomsday talk, but it's based on current geological ideas. And the Earth is constantly changing, and in its 4.5 billion year history, it has allowed life to thrive, or it has caused life to die, and that's the nature of this business. I ended it on an optimistic note, though, by showing once again. I started with the blue-green NASA photo of the Earth, and what a tremendous photo that is. They call it the blue marble. I started the talk with the blue marble. I ended the talk with the blue marble, and I said, pardon me, as a geologist, a cornucopian, and an eternal optimist, I'm sure we will have migrated to some other blue-green planet in the galaxy long before any of these doomsdays are bound to happen. And I'm a firm advocate of that we will colonize other planets.
You're an optimist, though, too, aren't you?
I mean,
somebody listening to you right now and say, oh, my God, this guy is so down. I'm, you know,
no,
let's end it all now. But you're an optimist.
No, the core of me, I'm an eternal optimist. I almost have to be because I'm an exploration geologist by education and profession. It is so hard to find a viable mineral deposit, we almost have to be eternal optimists. And though I'm a scientist and a skeptic, optimism is my core value.
We have not seen a big discovery recently, have we? When was the last time we had a big discovery in the exploration world, be it copper, gold? Are we overdue for something?
Well, I would probably say we have had a couple of big discoveries. Probably the biggest one we've had in the last year or so is a giant copper-gold porphyry discovered in Serbia with tremendous grades. That's a joint venture between a junior and copper giant, Freeport-McMoRan. And that is a giant discovery. So I would probably disagree, and we've had periodic big discoveries, but they're not coming fast enough to supply enough metal for the metal we use every year.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if they're coming fast enough to maintain enthusiasm in the market, because that's what the junior game is all about. Is you have to be enthusiastic about this, don't you? Because you know that it's a bit of a crapshoot, a bit of a casino, and to keep people interested, you got to give them the chance of winning once in a while.
Well, that's true, and it is a crapshoot what we do, but the bottom line is we need lots of medals, and another bottom line is there are way too many juniors. There are not enough good projects in the world. We've got 1,600 some odd juniors, somewhere around that, on the Toronto and the Venture exchanges. A bunch of those need to go away. We need to get leaner and meaner and cleaner in this business.
Speaking of leaner, cleaner, and meaner, I think it was about this time a year ago that John Kaiser was causing a bit of a stir leading up to PDAC, talking about a large percentage of companies listed on the Venture Exchange that basically he said were on life support, and didn't really have any money at all in the bank, and that they were doomed to go bye-bye. Have we seen much of that over the past year? Has there been a culling of the herd, so to speak?
Not nearly as much as we would have anticipated. What's happened is the TMX now is a publicly traded company that owns the Venture Exchange and Toronto Stock Exchange. They make a significant amount of their revenue from listing fees, so it is in their best interest and their shareholders' best interest to keep throwing lifelines to these bad companies, and they have continued to that, and I think that's to the detriment of the business. We need a good house cleaning. The stock exchange is in a bit of a financial conflict with that idea, and it hasn't progressed. Eric Coffin made a good point at this conference, and he said, we've got audit fees coming up, and you can renege on your bad debts for everything except audit fees, and if you're a company with no money, you got to pay the auditors to get that audit report. You can't owe them, and so that's going to happen in about three more months, year end, and then if memory serves, they have 5 months to do their audit or they're then delisted. And so we would hope a few of these bad ones would be delisted at that time.
Okay, Mickey, in wrapping up, anything else you wanted to add on this year's convention and our 100th show?
Well, the convention was fun, as always, a bit exhausting, and it's always fun to talk to you. And let's raise a glass and has a toast here to our 100th show, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks, and I think we'll do a review on some of the major medals and review what's happened since the last time we talked about them.
Okay, great stuff, Mickey. Look forward to it. We'll connect over the phone in a couple of weeks. Good to see you, and look forward to getting together next time.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulte, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.